All right. Welcome, welcome. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity Relationship Podcast.
That's right. So we want to welcome you to another day, another podcast. We are always honored that you would join us, that you would listen in. And we want to encourage you, go and subscribe, whether or not if it's on iTunes or if it's on Google Play, we want you to subscribe so that way you can get the latest show. And we also want to encourage you to leave a review. We love those reviews. We love your feedback. So please leave. We're always privy to 5-star reviews. So we want to encourage 5 stars. But it could really be a blessing to somebody else. So Keontae, man, how are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good, man. So it's a good day. We just got through with the rain. It's been raining here in California.
And but we need that rain, right?
Right, exactly. Hopefully we out the drought.
Yeah. And I don't know if the rain got me. Something caught me, but I definitely got sick the past couple of days. And so my voice might be a little, off. But that's okay. Right. I'm gonna push through. I think mainly it's just energy. You know what I mean? You find yourself, you'll do a little something, and all of a sudden you're like, you're reminded that.
Right, you're like, ooh, I can't do it like I used to.
Right. So just trying to get my energy back, but I am feeling better. Gotcha. So our topic today, man, why don't you tell people our topic today?
So our topic today is actually, it's a very good topic, and I just think it's something that we don't normally think about. But it's something that we need to really think about and look at. But it's signs of a great small group.
Okay, so signs of a great small group. And this actually came from a listener. And so we're always grateful for those who write in and tell us different things. And so we have David, who's been listening to the show for quite a while. And he wrote in. He was like, man, I love what you guys are doing. It's been a blessing to me. And I took some of the principles. And so one of the principles that we talk about are small groups and how important small groups are to your relationship. And that kind of sounds weird, doesn't it, Keontae, just a little bit? Like, what does a small group have to do with
your relationship?
Yeah. With my relationship and even in my singleness. And so it doesn't matter if you're single, if you're dating, if you're married. I would go as far as to say this. And I want your thoughts, Keontae. Small groups are critical.
Definitely.
You know, I'm going that high. It's critical to the success of your relationship. And exactly. If you're not in a small group, we want to encourage you to get in a small group. So he's been applying some of these principles. And actually, let me go back. And so you might say, okay, well, why exactly is, you know, because small groups help us to hold accountability. Small groups push us to get better. Small groups, they provide support and encouragement. And so small groups really benefit you in singleness and in marriage. And so I think there's a view that sometimes, well, if I'm single, then I need small groups because at least I have people around me. You know what I mean? I have community because I don't really have that one other person. But I feel like a mistake that people make is once they do get involved, they detach from their small groups.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
What would you say about that, man?
I mean, that the last thing that you said is so true. And, not even just when we think, because I think most of us, when we think of a small group, most of us that have been in church, we just think of like kind of the church setting in small groups. But you just think about the circle of friends that you have. But once you get into like a committed relationship, you start hanging out with your friends more, less or whatnot. You know, you stop doing things that you used to do less around those friends, whether it be hobbies and things attached to that. These are friends that you might have had, in-depth conversations with and things of that nature. And that's where a small group comes into play. When you're by yourself or when you're single, when you're starting off single, you don't have that interaction with people that you can really kind of vent to or talk to or discuss things about anymore because now you've broken off with that. And that can get kind of dangerous.
It can. And you learn so much from other couples and you realize that you're not alone in your challenges. I think sometimes because we isolate ourselves in the relationship and in marriage that we don't realize that other people are going through the same thing that you're going through. And it actually provides a sense of comfort.
Right.
So here it is. David was like, look, I've been taking some of these principles you guys have been talking about. It's been a blessing to me. And he actually got plugged into a small group, but then he just was not feeling comfortable about this small group and actually began to dislike it. And this is a small group at a church. And so he was like, what should I be looking for? What are signs of a great small group? And kind of what are some things that I should do? And so I have a list of things. Keontae has a list of things. And we're going to kind of share, what are some things you should look for when you're looking for a small group and whether or not if you should stay in a small group. So what you got, man? What's your first one?
Well, the first thing that really popped into my mind, especially dealing with the listener's question, is the first thing you want to look for in a group is hospitality.
Yes, you yes, know, right?
One of the key things he said, you know, he just kind of felt like, you know, it, pretty much, for lack of a better word, like they didn't like him in a sense or whatnot. Or, you know, I'm guessing they were kind of like standoffish or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be in this, you know, if you want to get into a small group and get acquainted with one, a good one at that, you need to look for a hospitality. You need to look for a group that's, you know, welcoming, you know, trying to accept you with open arms and you know, making strides to be kind and to be nice
right.
when it comes to, you know, building a friendship or starting a friendship.
So what I want to do, Keontae, is I want to stick up for the small group just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to do this because I think it's easy, especially for churches or any actually small group. It doesn't matter if it's in the church or not in the church. But I think it's easy where over time a small group becomes a club. It can become cliquish.
Gotcha.
And you don't even realize it. Now, mind you, I'm not sticking up for them saying that they're not wrong in not being hospitable. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is I think it's easy for any of us to become that group. You know what I mean? We become that person because we've gotten so comfortable with our community. We've gotten so comfortable with the people that we're around that we don't even realize it, that we're not welcoming to others who are trying to connect. And that's even worse when you're supposed to be a small group. So what are some small groups that you might see in the church? You might see a single small group. You might see a marriage small group. You might see actually a choir or a praise team. That's a small group. You might have a small group Bible study. You might have a small group young adult group. So there's many different types of small groups. As a matter of fact, we have a small group where they're working on old-fashioned cars. I'm not saying that right, man. What is it?
Classic cars.
But that's a small group because what happened is they found this thing that they all like, and they're coming together in Christ, encouraging one another in those areas. And so they all like classic cars. They bring out their classic cars and they're like, hey, look at mine. They look at yours. They encourage one another. And that's a type of small group.
Right. That's true.
But you can become so closed off as you build those connections that when somebody else joins and says, hey, look at my classic car, you're like, whatever. Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing I want to bring up too, you know, I know we're talking about from the perspective of the actual listener who wrote in, but, you know, you may be listening to this podcast right now and you're in a small group and you might not even be aware that, man, you know, are we being mean or, you know, are we kind of being standoffish? But one scripture I want to bring up that I've always heard when I was little, even when I didn't go to church, and I remember I looked it up and I just thought it was an interesting scripture, is Hebrews 13, verse 2. And that says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it, you
know?
It's real accountability verse, you know, in a sense of if you're in that small group, to just be open to everyone. You never know who you're entertaining, you know, or who you're showing that hospitality to.
Right. That's good. Well, I have a Hebrew scripture that I want to share. And the Hebrew scripture I want to share comes from chapter 10, verse 23. And it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Mm-hmm. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the matter of some, but encouraging one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And so this is actually a command, you know, that we're to fellowship and come together. And one of the key things that sticks out to me is holding fast to your confession of hope, meaning holding fast to your belief. And so one of the critical things that you're looking for, and this is critical, that you want in a small group is you want to make sure that there's a core belief agreement.
Yeah.
And so since this is a Christian relationship podcast, that means do they share that the core Christ beliefs? Do they believe the same thing when it comes to your faith in Christ? Now, that can go outside of that. So whether or not if you're not a Christian, but you still want to find a group that shares your same type of core beliefs, because you're supposed to encourage one another. And that's what it says in verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up what? Love and good works. And so that group is pouring in those beliefs, and they're encouraging one another in those beliefs. And so don't just find any group. Now, you can have some groups that maybe aren't spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing you do want to have is you do want to make sure that you have a spiritual small group.
Right.
don't have a bunch of other small groups. Don't have a restoration small group and a motorcycle group and a bowling group, but you don't, none of them are feeding into you spiritually. None of them are there. There's a core common belief within that group.
Right. That's some good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. You have another one, man.
So then my next one is, if you're looking for a small, when you know, signs that you're looking for, signs that this is a good small group is that they give you wise counsel. Yes. And I think that's kind of the, you know, that should be the definition of a small group, especially when you're single. You know what I mean? Like, you want a group of friends that, you know, are going to give you wisdom. And now I'm not just talking about just any wisdom, but that that rich biblical wisdom.
Right, that godly wisdom. That's what you need. I like that, man.
And so the main scripture for me that comes into mind is Proverbs 24:6. And it says, "For by wise guidance you can wage war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because let's face it, when you're single, I mean, temptation comes like no other when you're single. You know what I mean? When you don't have that person to lean on, and you know, when you're going through that stage where you're data collecting or dating and courting, I mean, temptation just runs rampant, and you need to war against temptation. You need to fight off sin, and what better way to wage war against sin than to have a wise counselors, an abundance of counselors behind you, backing you, praying for you, to give you that victory.
And that's critical. I love that, because it definitely piggybacks off of, you know, the point that I was saying, which is, now that they have this core belief, how are they using this core belief? And so me being in the military at one point in my life, you know, there's a saying is, you don't let your fellow soldier, your fellow partner walk around ate up. And what that means, ate up, is meaning that they're all messed up. And so if you see that their shoelace is untied, if you see that something is improper, their hat isn't right, why are you going to allow them to walk around like that just for them to get in trouble? Because there's going to be consequences for those actions, because the military, you know, is very, you know, precise as far as how you're supposed to look and the things you're supposed to do. And so as a friend, as a community of soldiers, we're supposed to hold one another, you know, push one another and consider one another of how we can help one another in that core belief. You see, there's a core belief
there. Exactly.
And so because you are in a small group that shares your core belief, that small group also encourages, you know, godly counsel. And I would go as far, and let me go back. Let me say this. I don't think a small group has to have a Bible study every single time you meet.
Right.
But I do think the type of small group that we're encouraging you to be in is that there is a spiritual encouragement, a part of the group. And at least on a regular basis, you know, they are sharing godly wisdom, and there is a going to the word. And so there is a challenging you where you're sitting down and maybe and challenging one another, but it doesn't have to be that all the time. But what you think, man?
Right. No, that's real good, because you need that, you know, because I think when you get into that aspect where, like, hey, every time we got to meet, this has now become a Bible study. Every time we meet on Tuesdays or whatnot, I think it kind of takes out the how can I put this? Kind of like the human relatable aspect to it. Yep. You know what I mean? Because if you're constantly just meeting and all you guys are having, you know, all you're doing is just having Bible study and focusing on studying the word, where do you get the time to really say, like, hey, man, hey, I've been struggling in this area. And I'm just wondering, have you ever struggled in this area too? You know what I mean?
And how do you build bonds? You know, so yes, we have a core bond in the word, in our faith, but there might be a core bond also in sports. And one of the things that you see a lot in the New Testament and in the book of Acts is they were constantly fellowshipping. They were constantly breaking bread. And we take that as, they have Bible study every time. It doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. They just broke bread. They ate together. They would go out together. They would go from house to house in fellowship and community. Sometimes they were worshiping. Sometimes they were praising. Sometimes they were giving reports. Sometimes they were just eating. Sometimes there was a Bible study. And so there's many different dynamics that make that up.
Right. That's good, man. One thing too, that really, I really want to pinpoint exactly what you said when it comes to, you know, everybody kind of having that same foundation in a small group where, you know, like, okay, I know this person is, you know, they're working with the same Holy Spirit that I'm working with. You know what I mean? You just want to have that kind of one band, one sound mentality. You know what I mean? If I could quote the scripture,
it's one body, one spirit, one Lord, one Christ. Yeah, absolutely. It's all in there. So we're one and encouraging one another. And let's go a little bit further. So how does that come into play, you know, when you're in singleness? So when you're in singleness, you know, you have those people that are going to have that same mantra of, hey, wait until you get married. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, you know, I'm going to support you and encourage you. And so you have, because there's temptations.
Right.
It gets hard. And so you're going to have, you know, those people that are going to encourage you and counsel you. And this is actually my other point, which is accountability. Mm-hmm. Counsel is one thing. Teaching God's word is another thing, or having a spiritual word is important. But also it comes with accountability. So what's another thing that you're looking for? What's another thing that's important of a great small group is accountability. So that means, wait, why are you doing that?
Right.
Hey, man, you know, you should not be cheating on your wife. Hey, you shouldn't be cheating on your husband. And even before it gets that far, because you have this small group, because you're so intertwined, and there's a difference between the small group and some of your old high school buddies, mm-hmm. some of your old college buddies, because just because you talk to somebody once or twice a year does not mean that you have this same type of small group, this same community that we're talking about right now. The community that we're talking about right now is this community where you're around one another so much and you're fellowshipping so much is that you are in each other's business.
Exactly.
But because you're in each other's business, right, Keontae, then what ends up happening?
Right. You can't hide anymore.
You can't hide. And that's one of the main reasons why people, once they start kind of getting into stuff that they shouldn't be getting into, they start going to church because it's like, you know, oh, man.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff, and it's relatable and it's true. Once you get into a little dirt, you don't want anybody to see that you're dirty. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
a small group is going to hold you accountable and say you're dirty.
Right.
And even if that means kind of bringing tension in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important of a good friendship and a good small group is that there's such a community, there's such a love for the other person that love even is willing to challenge the other person to push them to do right and challenge them in what they're doing may be wrong, that they'll do it even if it means harming the relationship
right.
because they love that person enough.
That's good.
Yeah. And I'll go another step as far as accountability. And one of the ways that you can look at it mm-hmm. is, does your small group reach out if you've been MIA? Meaning if you've been missing in action, is there a sense of, hey, Bob, hey, Jane, you know, whoever it might be, how have you been? I haven't seen you the past couple of weeks.
Right.
That's something you're looking for. And so you want to search for that. Now, mind you, no one is perfect. And so please don't be so quick to leave a small group because they're not applying some of these things. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Keontae, because I was so encouraged when I read David's letter or email, because one of the things that David said is he said, hey, you know, I really wasn't sure if it was me. I wasn't sure if I was being open enough. And I love that because sometimes when there's a problem, the first place we look is outside versus mm-hmm. inside. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing he said was, maybe I'm not being open enough. Maybe I'm not being friendly enough. And so it doesn't matter how open and friendly a small group is, if you yourself aren't being friendly or taking time to try to reach out, I mean, what results are you going to get, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's good stuff. And it's funny because we were kind of both looking at the same thing. I kind of thought that too, because I was kind of reading and looking for like, okay, when is he going to say that? Oh yeah, I left this small group like a month ago. You know what I mean? But it seems like he just, you know, he really has the heart and intent of really like, you know, I'm trying to really figure this out. Like, I need to figure out if it's me. I need to figure out if it's them. If it's something that we both can work on together, right, me and the small group. You know, that really shows intent. That shows just a lot of heart and thought that he put into this. You know, even sending us that question. You know, that he's really thinking about that.
And that's where I want to build. And so, one of the things that's important of a small group is understand that you might be that change.
Mm-hmm.
You might be that person in that small group that says, "Wow, we're not as friendly. Let's try to work on this as a small group. Hey, we really don't hold each other accountable. Hey, we don't even talk about the word ever. It's been like we've been meeting regularly for 6 months. We don't ever talk about the word."
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no perfect small group. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect person. And so it's just upon us to try to do the best that we can. And so if there is an issue, if there is something that is missing, you know, look to try to resolve it first. Don't just leave. And that's what David did. He tried to reach out. He tried to be friendly. He went and talked to leadership. And so my advice for him at that point was, hey, maybe go search for another small group, because not all small groups, not all communities are willing to offer these things. They are who they are, and they're not trying to grow or change.
Right, right. It's good stuff.
All right, man, do you have any last thoughts?
The last thought I just want to emphasize is, you know, just us talking about this small group. I think people can really kind of get turned off and just be like, you have people be like, I don't need to go to the small group. I'm fine where I am. You know, I can read books and whatnot. But there's just such a great thing to be found in community. And there's a quote that I always used to say is, one hand can cast a brick, but many hands can build a pyramid. You know, you always want to have that fellowship of people, because people help build your character, you know, even if you don't think that, even if you think you just isolate yourself and, you know, read this on Google by yourself and watch these YouTube videos and be fine. You need that human interaction, and you need people around you that can help build you up as well as you helping to build them up.
Right. You're right. And man, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, this podcast is only going to do so much.
Right.
And so we're grateful for you being a listener, and for those who are listening and listen regularly and really seek it for advice. But understand, it does not take the place of human interaction.
Right.
And so having that human interaction and fellowship. And one of the things I've been so encouraged about is that, you know, people have been reading my book, Chasing Happily Ever After, and they've been coming back and they're like, dude, no, I'm sorry. They're not saying dude, right. But they're like, Pastor Wallace, man, we love this so much. And so they're starting small groups teaching from the book, mm-hmm. because it has lessons and because it has questions and thought provoking journaling, that they've been able to plug it right into their small group. And so that's been so encouraging, because they haven't been thinking, okay, look, this is just benefiting me. They've been thinking, wow, I want this to benefit others, and let's come together in this word and encourage one another in areas that we know we have challenges. And it doesn't matter if it's my book, somebody else's book. Ultimately, it all comes from the word of God.
Right.
And that's where we want to grow and encourage one another and be around. So that's a great point, man. All right, well, we'll go ahead and finish up. Father, we love you. We thank you for every day or every opportunity that you give us. We're thankful for David and people like mm-hmm. David, who have been committed and consistent to listening, and their heart is really trying to get better. Their heart really is trying to grow in your word, to grow with you, and really seeking their happily ever after in you. They're seeking, you know, relationships in you. So Father, I just pray that you'll just bless those, that you'll touch any small group that maybe they have some challenges. Maybe somebody here is a leader of a small group, and they're listening, and they're realizing, wow, we're really missing in some of these areas. So Father, I just pray that you would just give them the strength and accountability to cause them to make some of those changes and to grow. So that way they're not just a small group, mm-hmm. but they're a great small group. We love you. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. God keep you. Until next time. Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. We're in the house of the Lord. Yeah. This is what you come for. Come on. Stand up. Stand up. Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a family reunion and my family's with me. Place I'd rather be, or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm